This is the real weepy and like tragic part of the story beginning, oh my brothers and only friends.
I'm in for four potential getaway drivers. Go.
No!
But I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
No!
Excuse me, we have a little bit of a hurry.
Hang on, Voltaire.
It's yet another long series of perversions in an attempt to avoid responsibility.
Welcome, everyone, to This Just In, the weekly podcast that covers things... Fuck!
Just keep going. Don't stop this shit.
God damn it. Things we, the editors of the mean, find funny or interesting. And what are these things we talk about, you might wonder? Well, to give you a few examples, we have ended up in quite lengthy discussions about such extremely important issues such as babies in space, the merits of prepubescent pop sensation Geordi, and, of course, way too many fucking conversations about video games. Today, for your listening pleasure, we plan to hold an all-out battle over which sense is the best. We're going to consider the career of Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, and rant about Amway's very own Dick DeVos running for governor of the fine state of Michigan. As for your hosts, I'm Tanner Hagen, podcasting from areas outside of Los Angeles.
I'm Chris View, podcasting from Hamtramck, not Detroit.
And today I'm pleased to announce that we have our very first special guest commentator, Rory Finneran, a former college brosif of mine, who over IM suggested we change it up a bit because he was getting bored and get other people in the mix, to which I replied, sure, then you're the first. He went out, bought a headset, and here he goes.
Thank you, Tanner. It's good to be here.
Yeah, that's Rory. His website's at, you want to give it out?
Sure, it's beamreach.wordpress.com. Beamreach is a sailing term. It's B-E-A-M-R-E-A-C-H.
So are you a skipper now?
I am. I'm an official skipper.
All right, sweet.
It's actually, it means it's the fastest point of sail, like, relative to the wind. If you're on a beam reach,
like
you'd be going, like, perpendicular.
Flies?
Well, kind of. It's like if you're perpendicular to the wind. I found it on some Wikipedia site somewhere.
Uh-oh. Wikipedia?
Let's not get into that again.
Yeah,
let's actually, Rory was one of the defenders that emailed.
I know.
Yeah, I tried to.
All right, well, really quickly, what are the issues we're going to be discussing today?
Wait, first of all, I wanted to make an announcement about the vidcast, just in case people...
It's going to be amazing.
Just in case people stop listening before the end, which I suspect a lot of people do. Yeah, our video cast will be filmed via webcam.
It's going to be filmed on Thursday. But
yeah, on Thursday.
Live vidcast. It's not live, right?
No, on Thursday, the April 6th, I guess.
6th, I think.
And
I'm going to be so goddamn jet lagged. It's going to be retarded. I don't even.
You don't get jet lag coming out this way. Trust me.
I've been up several times. I get very fatigued.
That's just from the airplane.
Just drink plenty of water. You'll be fine.
I'll piss myself, man. I can't do that. All right. Tanner, what were you saying? What was the...
Well, we're going to film it on April 6th, and I'm hoping to release it on April 10th, but, I mean, come on. Probably not.
So we just got an email.
Look for it some other time that week, and hopefully... will inform you some way via iTunes, whether it's with the actual video itself or with a special message to go to the site and download it. And
are you guys going to have a studio audience?
There'll be two girls there. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to actually be partaking in it.
They probably will just sit silent and not even interact.
I can at us like we're fucking retards the entire time. But
I know. So
that's why we have to get and put GHB in their drinks.
All right, first topic today is Chris's topic about he wanted to have an all-out battle for the human senses and to decide a winner on this podcast as to which sense reigns supreme.
Basically, the idea for this is nothing new to me. I mean, I contemplate it all the time. At what point in my life would I be willing to lose a sense? And if I did, what sense would that be? And so I've been trying to figure out, like, if I lost my sight, it would be shitty, but I would at least have my hearing and my sense of touch. If I lost my sense of hearing, I could still see the world and maybe read lips. If I lost my sense of touch, I think I would probably die, because I think you need that. If you have sensory deprivation to that extent, I think you're fucked up. And then, for me, it's hard to say exactly which sense, because at all times, each one of my senses becomes more important than the next, but I was thinking about it, and because taste and smell are linked together through the olfactory sense, I don't know. I think a lot of the emotions that happen in my life come through the sense of smell. For instance, if I'm in a supermarket somewhere and I smell a woman with a perfume that reminds me of it, my second grade teacher, an entire rush of emotion comes over me because I remember what it was like to be in second grade.
Did you lust after this teacher?
No, God no. Mrs. Carter, are you crazy? No way. She had like a gorilla jaw. She was gross.
So what'd she smell like? Diapers?
No. In second grade, kids weren't pooping their pants, right? I mean, there was one kid, maybe, but that kid was an anomaly.
No, what'd the teacher smell like?
It's impossible.
I was that kid.
How do you describe what a teacher smelled like in 1988, honestly? Like, what do you...
Smells change over time, they evolve.
But I guess for me, it came down to this, because I smelled this certain smell, and it brought back so many memories for me, and I thought to myself, if I didn't have that, that rush of memories wouldn't have occurred. Now, with my sight, I might see something that reminds me of it, but I don't know if that happens as often as smell does. So I think if I'm going to throw it out there right now, preliminarily, unless you guys convince me otherwise, I'm going to say my sense of smell has by far surpassed all my other senses, and if I had to lose the other ones, smell would be decent for me, because I think I could distinguish and survive on it.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but first of all, I'll let Rory destroy you with his choice.
Well, I think that's interesting. You would sniff your way through life. That could be an interesting life.
Hound dog.
I was going to say smell would be the place for which one I would get rid of if I had to lose one. But, I mean, you raise a good point about, triggering memories. I think for some reason it is closer linked to your memories than your other senses. But sight is just obviously... Well, you can't lose your sight.
It's dominant.
Dominant. And hearing, like, I mean, deaf people get through life pretty okay with sign language.
But how do we know? They can't tell us.
That's true.
why can't they tell us again?
Sign language isn't enough. I mean,
to describe their pain.
Yeah, American Sign is just a plea for help from all deaf people. And I'm safe in saying that because there's no deaf people listening to this podcast right now. I can hear
that we're sure of.
But if you lost your sense of... I lost my train of thought.
Don't worry about it. If you lost your sense of smell, yes, you're right.
It would be horrible. Rory, you're in agreement with me.
Well, if you went deaf now, you wouldn't have to use sign language because I think you would still be able to talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Since you weren't born deaf. Mm-hmm. But...
Are we sure about that?
Language might evolve without you, and what if you're left in the... not in the...
You wouldn't be able to keep up with the new slang. You would be speaking, like, old English.
So are you saying... let's just throw it right now. What's the sense you're going to keep? And tell me the other four you're getting rid of.
I keep sight, because I think it would be awful to be in, like, blackness. Eternal blackness. That would be mm-hmm. That would be the worst.
That would be by far the most depressing.
Oh yeah. Although touch,
but you can still feel boobies. You can still feel all those things that you like, and you know what they look like. If we're that this gauntlet is thrown at our current age now, all the things that we've known are going to be known for the remainder of our lives. I don't think you'll forget that. That's etched in stone in you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like.
See, for me, when I consider this issue, I've got to think, okay, what sense do I derive the most pleasure from, and sort of, it's hard to put, but I guess it does all boil down to pleasure, because when you lose a sense, you're already on the road to nothingness. So So basically, it's all about, you know, where can I get my kicks easiest? So, I mean, and for me, I love music, but it doesn't rule my life. You know, I'm not a hipster or something. So I could lose my hearing. Because without hearing, I can still understand people. I can still communicate. I can read. I just can't hear music and shit like that. So that's not a big deal to me. Now, sight, I'm more of a visual person. I love to read. I don't want to mess with fucking Braille. Like, seriously, that you've got to... Something with Braille has got to be lost. It can't be that easy. I mean, seriously. And I want to be able to get around in the world, you know? So sight, to me, rules all. The only sense... I don't care about smells. The only sense that could compete would be taste. Because I really like
taste. Taste
things.
And smell are yeah. linked. You can't get rid of smell without getting rid of taste.
Says who?
The olfactory nerve. The olfactory nerve that.
Screw science.
I think it would hurt your sense of taste, but I think you would still have some sense of taste.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Biologically, if you lose your sense of taste or smell, I mean, you're fucked anyway because... That's the kind of stuff that indicates, you know, bitter foods. If ever we become a foraging society again, you're not going to eat the right berries. You're
why,
dead.
If ever Y2K happens again and the barter system is going to rule the world and that trades are going to be the way to go, then...
Let me just present an alluring situation to you, though, because you say sight is your most, you know, dominant sense. What about those people who, once they lose their sight, all other senses are enhanced?
What, like Daredevil?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking of. Exactly. And what do you say? Or Mantis. One of those...
What the fuck's Mantis?
You don't remember Mantis?
No.
The Fox show? It was on Fox. Some black guy became the Mantis.
And he couldn't see?
He couldn't do anything, man. I think he was paraplegic and blind.
Why was that a Mantis, then? What, did he have really long arms?
He wore a green outfit.
Rory, you wanted to talk about Paul Rubens, and we're not exactly sure why. So state your case.
Okay, well, I watched the VH1 True Hollywood Story of Paul Rubens a few weeks, and I had never heard that detailed of a story about his arrest and the circumstances surrounding his arrest. And it just really made it clear that he got screwed over. I mean, the press and the media and the police force, I think he was somewhere in Florida when it happened, They just jumped on him and, you know, strung him up on the flagpole and destroyed his career.
What year was that?
I think it was... 92, yeah.
Because do you guys remember hearing about it? And, like, to me, the details were shady because I wasn't quite sure what masturbation was at the point in time.
Right.
Like, I was just developing my knowledge of it. So... Having my parents explain to me what happened to Pee Wee Herman was very...
Wait. Your parents had to sit down and talk to you?
No, because...
About Paul Rubens masturbating in a theater?
No, because when I first discovered it, I believe I was watching TV with my mom. And naturally, it's going to be an important subject to somebody who grew up on Pee Wee Herman to find out what the hell happened to him. And I don't think she wanted to use the exact words... But she was implying some sexual behavior, and I was thinking, like, what could you do in a theater? You know?
Right. Except for watch a sweet film and then high-five your butt at the end. That's all I knew.
And it was a situation where you had this town in Florida where the chief would send the cops over to the adult theater whenever their quota was low and whenever they needed to pick up some, you know, pick up some more masturbators. So there'd be people masturbating in an adult theater. And there was a reporter for one of the newspapers there. I think somebody representing Pee Wee Herman had talked to her before the story broke, and said, you know, can't we just make this go away? Like, do you have to publish this? And she said, oh, you know, I can't do. She insisted on publishing the story, even though, I mean, the story was the story. Like, there was, I mean, the story became the story. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes any sense.
I understand what you're saying. I guess my overall question is, maybe I should save this for later, I don't know, but if Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, who, by the way, when I was a child, was such a figure... I mean, I watched Pee Wee's Playhouse always, and I watched Big Top Pee Wee, which was a shitty film, but I also saw, you know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is, it's by far one of the best films I've seen ever. I mean, it's an amazing film. It's directed by Tim Burton. It's great. But my question would be, where would Paul Rubens be today had he not jacked off in a theater? What would he be doing today that's so relevant to our lives? Would he be a contributing member of the acting community, or would he be almost at the same point he is? What do you think?
I think that that's what his ultimate goal was. I don't think he was exactly right for the position of a children's star, even though he did a good job of it. I think his ultimate goal was to be sort of a character actor, and I think that's what he was moving towards, especially with the Tim Burton thing, because that is, I mean, that's a strange film in the sense that it was appealing to both kids and adults, but it was also making the transition of Pee-wee Herman from sort of a kid icon to an adult curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fascinating that he did that. I mean, what other children's star bridged that gap?
Now, can we say he was a children's star? Because before, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse began as an adult show that was picked up to become a children's show.
Really?
Yeah, it was originally a very raunchy show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That its initial intent was that it was a raunchy show for an older audience, became a children's show because I think they realized that the demographic that appealed to it was actually kids. So they put it on network TV on regular, you know, 247 or whatever. And yeah, I mean that's how it got a show as a kid or started as a kid show. But I believe it was an HBO special that he did prior to that, and it was definitely, I think it was HBO. God damn it, I need to look this shit up.
See, but that kind of shows that he was the type of guy. I mean, maybe he just made the wrong career choice, because if he had went the adult route and then got caught masturbating in a theater, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal, I don't think. Don't you think?
Right, that's definitely true. Yeah.
It was because he was a children's star that, you know, everyone blew that out of proportion. Like, right. It was dangerous for this demented person doing something that 90% of the population do.
Yeah.
You know, to be teaching our kids.
I was right, yeah, it was taped on HBO, but it was more raunchy than it was what we saw in our Saturday morning, you know, cartoon lineup. It definitely didn't have that same slant.
Was he making out with Jambi or something?
I don't know if he made out with Jambi, but maybe Captain Carl, maybe. Or Cowboy Curtis, I don't know which one. But those guys were both very gay. So, I don't know. But it just seems to me as though Paul Rubens, by taking the role of Pee-wee Herman, was immediately typecast anyway. So while his masturbation ruined my childhood because people called me Pee-wee Herman for about, I don't know, 12 years of my life, you know, it messed things up for me. At the same time, I question whether or not Paul Rubens would be a relevant actor today. Now, he's done the movie Blow, which people seem to love. I've never seen it.
But I haven't either, which is strange that we both haven't seen it.
Rory, did you see it?
I have not seen Blow.
Whoa!
Wow.
None of us have seen Blow.
That's wow. Unreal.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, people's performance of that as though it's good. So, I don't know. I mean, he's a good actor, apparently, but he's always got that stigma. I remember seeing him in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he was, you know, he has that long-ass death scene where he gets stabbed in the heart, whatever. And that was his, like, debut since his arrest.
Yeah.
And I still question, like, you know, he'd probably be doing the same thing had he not, you know, jacked off in a theater. So,
He was so good in Blow, why isn't he doing anything else?
Yeah. Good question. Let's figure out whether or not he is doing something else really quick. He's not?
The Tripper. He's got some movie coming out next.
Yeah, look at who the director is.
Oh, David Arquette?
Yeah.
David Arquette? Oh, my God.
Talk about a disaster.
And another disaster is Joe Harris, the other writing credit who wrote Darkness Falls. Never saw it, never will see it. It's a bullshit film.
Well, I'd like to thank Rory for being the person who brought up a topic that would bring us to IMDb, like, which has become a tradition, yeah. On every goddamn podcast.
But to David Arquette's credit, he does cast himself and his own wife in his own film. What a dick. You know, you probably could have found someone better than Courtney Cox. Let's say Jennifer Connelly. I'm just saying. And then you've got
the only other actress with black hair.
Yeah. You've got Lucas Haas, and Lucas Haas, he was washed up after, what was
Mars
that?
Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attacks, that was it. That was the last film he should have ever been in.
That what a bizarre-looking individual.
He's ugly, and you know what? Just like Paul Bettany, he's not a good actor.
Well, you just devastated him.
We're never going to get into Hollywood, by the way.
Hey, did you know Lucas Haas dated Nat Port?
No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yep.
Wow. That was only in July 2001, according to IMDb, though. He does enjoy ice skating / hockey.
That's good to
know.
They
had to put that in so he doesn't look too gay. All right. So, Corey, do you need to sum up anything for the Paul Rubens topic? What is it?
What's the essence of Rubens?
His role in Dunstan Checks In is really the best.
What an amazing movie.
I can't stand that movie. I don't want to.
Have you seen it?
Yes, and I don't ever want to see it again. I caught it on a late night movie channel, and it was retarded.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched part of it. I watched enough to know that when Dunstan is stealing a briefcase of some sort, it was all shenanigans and ballyhoo, and I didn't care anymore.
How great is that name for a chimp? Dunstan. That's a name of a World of Warcraft character.
And guess what? I'm going to create that character right now.
You gotta reserve that name. Let's move on to the next topic, which is fairly Michigan specific, but I think can touch the heart of everyone who hates Amway and pyramid schemes. And that's Dick DeVos, who is he the president of Amway or just one of the high command?
He's one of the co-founders, or he's in the family that founded it. I think his grandfather founded it.
Yeah, he's in the family.
That makes it even more nefarious. There's a family behind Amway?
Yeah.
DeVos and Andels, and they're like royalty on the west side of Michigan. They own every stadium, every other building.
Like extensive amounts of coastal
area. Wait, Amway started in Michigan?
Yeah, it's based in Grand Rapids.
No way!
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if its cancer has spread through all 50 states.
Or I'm if we're sure not. It has. Let me see.
Well, if it hasn't, here's a quick description of what Amway is. Basically, they sell a bunch of crappy products, and you sign on as a seller to sell these crappy products to other people, and the more customers you get, the higher you move up in the pyramid, which, of course, we all know how well that works, you know, and they...
It's a fucking Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, and basically the guys at top make a ton of money, particularly on conferences that they give to teach people their ways.
Which is retarded. It's like someone who makes up their own book on like... It's like that guy who says to place tiny ads in the paper... And then, like, his income, though, is telling you to place tiny ads in the paper. Like, it's such a fucking Ponzi scheme.
It's just so evil because it's rich people taking advantage of, the masses. And that's just so disgusting.
And they wave in front of people's faces, you know, you're going to be able to spend more time with your family. You're going to be financially secure. And they are just taking advantage of poor people and promising them that they're going to get rich. And, of course, you know, the people at the top are the only ones getting rich.
Yeah, it's so impossible to climb that ladder. No one knows anyone who's doing well off Amway.
And when that pyramid collapses, though, the only people who extract money from the whole thing are the people at the top. The people at the bottom are the ones who get left with shit. It's so horrible. I can't believe that. Sorry, Dick DeVos, he's a dick. Continue.
And so now he thinks he can run. I mean, it irritates me that he thinks he can run for governor, and he thinks he can pass himself off as, you know, some guy that's not a dick.
Yeah, but Rory, I'm on a page right now that shows Dick DeVos holding a baby in his hand.
No, are you serious?
Okay.
And that baby is very pleased. And the baby's Asian, by the way.
I can't believe they still pull that type of shit. Like, that stuff works.
Dick is loving this baby. So, you tell me right now. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down. Dick DeVos, is he a family man or no?
You vote against a guy who loves babies. They're so cute. How
I you know what? My platform running for governor is, first and foremost, babies aren't cute. Pretty much 90% of all babies are ugly, and none of them would be candidates for a Gerber baby, you know, ad. Pretty much all babies puke everywhere, projectile vomit nonetheless, and it's disgusting. I am not in the camp that says babies are cute. So on that platform alone, I don't vote for Dick DeVos.
How great would it be of a comedy sketch for our mythical show, which will never get created, wherein we follow a political candidate around, and he has, and the star of this sketch is the guy who wheels around the cart of babies, and depending on where he is on his whistle stop tour, they call for a different baby, and this man shuffles around in a big basket of live babies and throws one. Like, I need a female Asian, and then he just rifles around and tosses one. And then he goes to, like,
park it in Seattle.
How much better would it be if, like, as he's ruffling through, it becomes like a carnival act where the crowd's into it too, and so as he picks the baby up and it gets it thrown to him or whatever, like, the whole crowd's like, whoa! Like, it's just in case he doesn't catch it, you know? That would be amazing.
He goes to, like, an autism, autism community center or something. Like, I need a male with autism, and he's rifling through the, and then he gets to the bottom, and he's like, oh, it's dead.
It's dead.
And that's like the big emotional climax.
Well, there's also a picture of him reading to it looks like a first grade classroom. He's reading some sort of book to them. So.
That's a fallacy. Dick DeVos can't read.
Well, the book is upside down, so.
it's an Amway. It's an introductory Amway book.
Rory, is right. It really upside down?
No, you can't. Well, you can't tell.
Oh, it might as well be.
Yeah, it might as well be.
To explain to everyone the evil of Amway, I've got the perfect example. One of my junior high teachers was one of their minions, one of the orcish hordes that had been twisted by the evil magic of Dick DeVos and his family from their palace on the cliffs of Lake whatever, Michigan. and this I won't name the teacher's name. This teacher was one of the orcish hordes of Amway, and of course he was on the bottom rungs. This guy was by no means rich. And I was in a general business class, and the class was basically supposed to introduce people to business and, you know, working in business and, you know, whatever the hell. But it turned into basically everything the class revolved around, whether it be writing letters, doing interviews, giving presentations, revolved around Amway products. And he would bring products in and tell us about them, and then we'd have to, like, sell them to the class or write a letter about our Amway experience and all this crap. And out of this experience, he ended up sucking one of the students into being an Amway representative.
Which student?
This was a junior high student! But isn't that amazing that the disease that is Amway sucked this guy in so far that he was searching for clients in his junior high classrooms?
That's despicable. The fact that... All right, you know what? We can't sit here and talk about DeVos and his Amway shit. We have to talk about the fact that DeVos is running for governor of Michigan right now. And I'm not trying to, like, stray us off topic because I hate Amway as much as anyone else, but the fact is this guy could potentially be the governor of our state, or my state, and Rory's state if he comes back. I think you're in Washington right now, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, like, this guy, he's not for your average Michigander, because I think those of us who've lived in Michigan understand that a guy who's a $3 billion a year, you know, benefactor is not able to relate to the average person who lives in Metro Detroit. You know, this guy and what it is to be a citizen of Michigan. So this guy's putting on these commercials, though, where it shows him in the factory, like, right next to the worker, and he's got his fucking, he's got his goggles on because he doesn't want shit in his eyeballs, and he's talking to these people as though he's able to relate, but he's not able to relate. Here's why. The guy, two-thirds of this guy's income comes from it comes from, like, the dividends and shit that he makes off of all the investments he has. I mean,
he's basically wealth now rather than rich. He's wealthy, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other third comes from just the investments he's made. And this is based on his own... This is what he disclosed in his own tax... his statements from, 97 to 2004. So, and I will say this. I mean, that's an optional thing. He didn't have to do that. But now that he's done that, Keys people has no perception of that kind of wealth. It makes me realize that, you know, he's out of touch with me already. So the minute he comes to... If he were to come to my work and start talking to me about what it's like to work on the factory line, I'd be like, you know what, guy? You made two-thirds of your income, which, P.S., is $2 billion on dividends this year. I made $30,000 this year. So how do you relate to that? He doesn't, because $30,000 to him is a meal one night at Benihana. So fuck him.
Yeah, he's one of the richest people in the country, and he's trying to stand up for blue-collar values. He's transparent.
Work.
Yeah,
exactly. And more than that, I think what it's a really disturbing trend, especially in these people who I don't want. All right, it comes in the Republican form always, but if you look at DeVos's website, the issues that he has. He's got issues with jobs. Okay, you know, that's out with jobs. Healthcare, okay, whatever you got to say about healthcare, that's cool. Then you scroll down and it's like, on stronger families, let's figure out if that's a real fucking issue for people in Michigan. Because building a stronger family is pretty much a value that's generated by the Republican Party, and sadly, it's subsequently generated by the Democrats.
It's generated as a commodity to dupe everyone into acting like it's a viable political question when it isn't. It's an absolute fucking booby trap ruse that sucked everyone into thinking that this is actually an issue that faces America when it has nothing to do with anything important that impacts anybody's lives.
Exactly.
And it's a way to package religious legislation and such.
Exactly. Rory, what do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. Well, they use it as like this package for their pro-life message. You click on the stronger families and it just talks about how he's pro-life and it's in bold. Dick DeVos is pro-life.
Yeah, and families and abortion have nothing in common. It's not that issue.
Right.
It's more of a right. It's a human rights issue, not a family issue.
Well, here's what Fake Tan DeVos says about his pro-life stance. He's the only candidate for governor who supports a ban on the late-term procedure known as partial birth abortion. He believes that marriage is defined as between one man and one woman, and will stand up to any future attempts to redefine marriage in the state of Michigan. Well, guess what, douchebag? One man and one woman is a religious issue. We're talking about secular issues right now. And if two dudes want to get married, the law does not discriminate. Thankfully, because if the law discriminated, we would not be a free country. Sadly, religion discriminates at this point. And there needs to be more amendments to religion to say that, you know, human beings are going to be human beings. Don't tell me that gayness is an illness, because that pisses me off. And Dick DeVos is merely buying, and it pisses me off because right after that statement of how he's all about, you know, gay marriage, he says that he's going to protect our Second Amendment rights. He's the only candidate who's going to stand up for law-abiding Michigan gun owners, as though that has anything to do with, you know, two gay guys wanting to fuck. You know, like,
and that's also under the families. It's on the families page.
Is it really?
Yeah, the thing about the Second Amendment is under stronger families, which...
What a dick face.
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, but again, what qualifies this guy for political office? You know, what exactly has he done that shows that he can think about these issues, you know, and...
Well, Tanner, you're missing the point. He's a billionaire.
Yeah. That's the only qualification now.
It's true, though. A billionaire gets to run for office. And you know what? Here's what I'm hoping is going to happen with this case, because I see Dick DeVos as the Alan Keyes of Michigan. Alan Keyes ran for senatorial spot in Illinois against Barack Obama, and as I hope everyone knows by now, I am a big supporter of Barack Obama. I love the guy. I think he's amazing. And
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he, you agree with me, Rory.
The guy
is so in touch. He's with the pulse of America, and Alan Keyes was not. DeVos is not. I'm not going to say that Granholm is, because Granholm is the Democratic candidate against DeVos in Michigan, but
that's your only choices?
Yeah, those are our choices right now. Yeah. isn't that bad?
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that's what you have to deal with. So, I mean, if it comes down to a 2004 election, if choosing the lesser of two evils, I choose Granholm, of course.
It looks like what needs to be done is... we need, like, a mass-scale revolution where we don't have to choose between these lesser of two evils, and that progressive voices are actually considered viable. Because that's the bigger problem here, is anyone that is in any measure progressive. You know, just looking at the video game violence issue, where Democrats are hopping on, bashing on video game violence. I mean...
that's because that's an issue that they can jump on, and nary a word will be said, except for from the video game community. And that's not enough of a voice.
But, I mean, really, what progressive issues do the Democrats even stand for? I mean, they are so conservative now. It's like... that's the bigger issue at hand here, is that our choices are so limited now. Yeah. So limited.
I mean, what can... but, Rory, what can people like us do? You're in the fucking... you're in D.C. You know what's going on.
He's in the trenches.
Yeah.
Right. I think... just spreading the word about Dick DeVos, which is what I've been trying to do. I mean, I've just been taking the strategy of the negative campaigning against Dick DeVos. I mean, I'm not even going to try to talk up Granholm, because I know a lot of people don't, and a lot of people are trying to blame her for the state of Michigan right now. Even though the Congress is totally controlled by the Republicans, people still want to try to blame her.
I know, that's one of the most funny things, is that Democratic governors get blamed in the current climate where they're handcuffed.
Right.
I'm not trying to cut you off, Rory. Hold your thought. But I remember even back in, like, 2004, when the elections were coming around, and people were like, yeah, well, look at Michigan. Look at the state of Michigan. It's messed up because there's a Democrat in office. And they're saying this because, you know, Granholm had to cut funding to schools. It's like, hey, we've got, like, billions of dollars right now being filtered out by the federal government towards a war we need not be fighting. And you're telling me that Granholm's at fault for cutting... you know, she's got a budget to work with.
Yeah, I know. She's only given what she's given.
Yeah, like, that budget is dictated by the federal government. So, you know, she's got to deal with that. And if she does, yeah, there's things that have to be jeopardized. And, maybe she chose the wrong, you know, areas to cut funding from or whatever. But, hey, let's put back a few trillion dollars since 2002 into our economy, and maybe my tuition would have been hiked up back when I was in college. You know, it's such a stupid argument.
Well, we're...
sorry, Ray, continue.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, I just think we need to spread the word about how much of a dick Dick DeVos is, and, you know, spread the word about Amway, too, and, like, it reminds me of a cult in so many ways. I mean, people get sucked
it
in,
is.
And it
and
is
it
really
reaps
like
little
cult.
Benefit.
Yeah.
But they still plug away.
Yeah.
But, to me... you know, if he wins governor in Michigan, I mean, it would be to Michigan what George W. Bush was to the country. I mean,
it's the end.
Yeah.
Or which Schwarzenegger has been to California.
Well, looking at Michigan is in fucking peril, because the auto industry, which is the crux of what Michigan lives upon, the auto industry is dying.
I think that's the case across all the country. California's in peril right now.
Sure, that's the case. But what I'm saying is, like, in terms of industries that reside within California or Michigan, you know very well, Tanner, that the auto industry...
yeah,
is,
it depends solely on it.
Nobody's family is not affected by the auto industry here. You know, my brother works for GM. He's probably going to lose his job at the end of the month.
Yeah.
He's been working there for, you know, almost a decade, it seems. You know, pretty much anyone who lives here knows someone in the auto industry. It's and right now, it's dying. The auto industry is dying here. And the question should be asked, will Dick DeVos cure that? No, he won't. Will Granholm cure that? Probably not. But if Dick DeVos is going to vote against gay marriage rights and Granholm won't, well, I would rather the industry die and let human rights exceed than not. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's the lesser of two evils, because you have to almost give and take when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I don't know. He doesn't represent... I think he represents those people who live in the exteriors of Michigan, which means those people who don't live in the major cities, they live in the periphery. And he represents those people who are like, I'm going to build a pole barn. I'm going to ride my four-wheelers. I'm going to go up north every weekend. He represents maybe those people, but there is a decent amount of us who still live in the city who understand what it's like to have bums living on the street next to us. And, you know, that kind of stuff is messed up and it needs to be remedied. It can't be overlooked. And if a guy like DeVos gets into power, he's not gonna ensure that our medical, you know, whatever our medical situation, he's not gonna look over that because he doesn't really have much control over that anyway. That's the federal government, and this guy's obviously for Bush. And if he's for Bush, then he's not looking after our medical rights. So, I'm sorry, I went on a whole diatribe there. But
yeah, we're at 44 minutes, so.
Well, what else did we have to discuss today?
We're not going past 44 minutes.
I'm just saying, what else did we have to discuss?
We're going to talk about the Sega Master System. But
really?
Yeah.
Nobody told me about that.
That was a secret. But now it's not happening, so.
Stories about that.
All right, that's it for this week.
All right, well, Rory, thank you so much for coming by.
Hey, thank you for having me. It was fun.
If you want to come back, honestly, like it makes it a lot easier with three people than two.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool.
See ya.
Oh, that's how we end. Wait. What song are we playing now?
I don't know.
You better know. You better tell me it's one of mine.
I just choose when I choose. I never have that planned.
Well, I don't want the roulette of music playing right now. I demand right now, right on Wagner's hit song, Jack Lights Out.
All right, queuing it up. Let's see if this works.
Yeah.
This is my jam.
Get ready. This is me. That's
oh, listen to Chris wail.
Sorry.
Hands in my pockets on the other.
That's not me saying.
You should say. Mike's not here to defend himself, and he's lost in Los Angeles at this point, so.
Yeah, that's me singing. I sing and I play the drums at the same time.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It took me like 2 minutes to learn it.
You're like Prince.
Basically, but I know the harmonica, he doesn't.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.
You have been listening to This Just In, recorded on Sunday, April 2nd, 2006, and distributed on Monday, April 3rd, 2006. For more information, please visit www.the-means.com. And don't forget about our video podcast being released next week sometime after April 6th.
Just a smaller place. Befriended a target who might be a real werewolf. Let's save the planet, the entire galaxy.